I think of him all the day long. I think, for I cannot be silent, his love is the theme of my song. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, how I love proclaiming his child and forever I am.
Yes, sir.
All right, if you will, turn to Chronicles. Chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. David, King David, led a very interesting life. He started out as a shepherd boy, serving the king. As a shepherd boy, being used of the Lord to quiet King Saul when he would have one of his demonic fits, and God used David. David was always submissive to the Lord. He tried to do what the Scripture told him to do. And so, chapter 16, as I was reading it in the Bible, I came across chapter 16, and chapter 16 is actually a prayer. It's a prayer of David's. So I've titled it David's Prayer, okay? Actually, it is a combination of about three different psalms that he eventually wrote. But it's here in chapter 16, and I'd like for us to look at that tonight just a little bit. I want us to think about prayer. Last week we were looking at a prayer where nothing was asked for. It was just praising God. Just praising God for the things he had done and the things he was doing and the way he was reaching out to people. Nothing was personally asked for. That was an interesting prayer. Usually when we pray, we're asking for something. You know, God, give me one of these, or, you know, do this for someone or that for someone. And if we're not careful, in our prayers, we're sort of telling God what to do. David doesn't make that mistake here. So if you will, read along with me as we begin this. It says, so they brought the ark of God. Oh, let me give you, I hadn't brought you quite up to speed yet. Saul looked for David to kill him. David was a threat to Saul. Saul knew that he was not going to be king anymore. He had been told that by the prophet. And so he wanted to get rid of David so that he could remain king. He went to battle, he and his sons. They were not doing well, so he went back and got the ark, thinking that had some magical power. The church doesn't have any magical power. The building doesn't. It's a building. It's like any other building, except for we meet here to worship God. We meet here sometimes, and sometimes this is a good place to be still and know that he is God. We're supposed to spend some time thinking about him. We're supposed to spend some time listening for his voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. God does not speak to us directly anymore. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. That is God's source of communication between him and us. It's his Holy Spirit. So it's okay to pray to the Holy Spirit. He's in you. He's with you wherever you go. And so he's there. He can hear. But he's also able to communicate with you. And so this is, David had seen Saul go off. Saul and his two sons were killed. The ark was captured by the Philistines. They finally couldn't stand it anymore to have that ark because there were some pretty weird things happening to them, which is great. When you're in the wrong place or you're misusing God's stuff, he can straighten it out. And so the ark had been returned to Israel. David was rejoicing. He was so happy that it had been brought back because that was the symbol. He wasn't their God. It was the symbol of who God was. Had the manna in it, had the rod that had budded in it, and it had the tablets, the two tablets that Moses had received up on the mountain in the ark. So when it was returned, that was a great blessing to them. And that's where we start now in verse 1. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Sounds at this point, it starts to sound a little bit like a Baptist church. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. So they had a big supper. And God and David saw to it that they were having that. It was sort of a potluck, okay? But they had pretty good luck. Asaph, the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, Jael, and Shemariamoth, and Jehiel, and Mattiah, and Eleb, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jehaziel, the priest, with trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord unto the hand of Asaph. That's the purpose of this. You remember when Saul and his sons were killed by the Philistines, and David became king, and the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant from the Israelites, and after some action from God against the Philistines, they wanted to get rid of the Ark. And the Philistines had nothing to do with God, and he did nothing but this, but chasten them for their sinful actions. So the Philistines returned the Ark to Israel by placing it on a new cart drawn by a couple of oxen and heading them in the direction of Israel. They were so glad to get rid of that. When the ark was first recovered, God's word, and I want to say something here, God's word is always God's word. It does not change with circumstance. If God says something should be done, no matter what the circumstance, it should be done God's way, not our way. That's what happened when that ark was first returned, if you remember. After some action from God against the Philistines, they returned the ark. When the ark was first recovered, one of the men, Uzziah, with David, reached out to steady the ark when one of the oxen stumbled, and God killed Uzziah. God killed him. All right. Because he had touched the holy ark, and God had said, you don't ever touch it. He touched it, and he died. And sometimes if we do things that God says we should not do, we die. We can. And God is just. This is not God being mean. This is not God, beating somebody up. No, God loves us. Remember that. It hurt him just as much to kill Uzziah as it did to kill anybody else. At that point, the transport of the ark was halted. David said, okay, we don't go any further. We don't know how to do this. Let's not try. And people, a lot of churches This is very important to the church. We need to know how to do what God wants us to do. If God says, do this, we need to make sure we understand how to go about it. God's way, not our way. His ways are not our ways. His ways are just about 180 degrees in the other direction. We're using this. Once in a while, we use this. But God has a way. He wants everything done. The entire Old Testament, there were the different sacrifices and the way they had to be accomplished. You had to take certain steps. It had to be just right for it to be acceptable to God. Today, there are not many different ways that we can come to God and be saved. I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, we're all going to the same God. We're all trying to please the same God. We're all trying to get to the same place. No, we are not. God has told us there is one way to come to Him. And it's not through the pastor. It's not through the church. It's not through the baptismal waters. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way to get to God. We're sinners. We will always be sinners. Once a sinner, always a sinner. But there is a grace of God that He will pour out for us and He will give to us if we let Him through Jesus Christ, if we understand and realize that the shed blood of Jesus Christ is what purchased us. Now we don't belong to us. We belong to God. So the ark, they stopped transport of the ark. And they placed the ark in the house of Obed-Edom. And God blessed Obed-Edom. And finally, David sought to bring the ark the rest of the way to Jerusalem. So David prepared a tent in Jerusalem. And this is where the history of Israel is. And so when we look at this, at the chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles, that's what we are looking at. The unique thing about this chapter is that David gave the musicians a song for them to sing in honor of the ark being placed in its tabernacle in Jerusalem. Verses 8 through 36 is not just a song, but it is a prayer also. Have you ever sung a prayer? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever sung a prayer? Most of us probably have not. But that is the way that they prayed to God. And that's what we are going to look at tonight, is we are going to look at a song that is a song of prayer to God. Verse 28, David does not make one single request for himself or for anybody else. The entire prayer is a song of praise and a prayer of pure praise to God. Which reminds me, the prayer sign-up sheet is out here on the information desk. If you haven't signed up yet and selected a time that you want to pray for the church and for our nation, please sign up. Okay? Most of the time, our prayer usually involves asking God for something, for ourselves or for someone else. Many times, our prayer involves material needs or health or safety. But in this prayer, we have just praise. So let's look at it. 1 Chronicles 16, beginning at verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord and call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. In this verse, David starts out with gratitude. Gratitude. If you want to start your day right, when your feet touch the floor, be thanking God. Be thanking God. You don't know what's ahead of you. God does. And he's going to be there. Be thanking him when your feet touch the floor. We have no specific event for which David is thankful. He is just thankful, period. And at that point, your day is fresh enough that you can be just thankful, period. Thank you, God, that I'm not dead. Okay. Thank you for a new day. Verse 9, sing unto him, sing psalms to him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. What do we need? What do we tend to do when we love somebody? Have you ever sung to somebody that you love? They do it in all the movies. What about real life? Have you ever sung to the one you love? Try it. They might like it. Unless you've got Ricky's voice, that might be different. But... Nah. You might reply, no, I don't want to drive them away. Okay. So... But doesn't God say to make a joyful noise to Jesus? I don't care what your voice is like. God loves to hear it when you are praising him. When you are singing to him with all the ability that you have, he loves that. That's sweet to his ears. We may not be able to carry a tune in a bushel basket. God doesn't care. It's not the tune. It's the love that's behind it. Everything God does is nothing but good, and we should talk about him that way. We should let people know God is being awfully good to us. We shouldn't be complaining about what he's doing. Romans 8:28, what does it say? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we should never be guilty of disparagement in our conversation about God. We must always think of him as holy and just. And that's just the way that David portrayed God. There are people who say, why does God let this happen? Why does God permit this? Why does God? God's not doing that. Everything God does is good. Verse 10, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Oh, it is so good to be in the presence of God. It is fantastic to be in his presence. The sinner will not want to have anything to do with God because there's that conviction inside. Only the child of God will have any reason to seek him. And we will rejoice in the presence of the Lord. He's here with us tonight. Did you dread coming back to church tonight? Or did you want to come back to church tonight? Because we're going to be in the presence of God. We're going to be in the presence of brothers and sisters who believe the same thing we do. What a wonderful place to be. On a Sunday night or a Sunday, on any day or any night with the Lord's people. Think of how David must have felt being made king by God and being in possession of the ark with the manna and the staff of Aaron, yes. I know it started with an A, I just couldn't get it to come to the... Little thing, you know, these things had been lost to Israel, and now they were back. Verses 11 through 14. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. People, God is our God. He is our God. He is not the God of the rest of the world. He owns us. We are his. We are his children. I know how David felt, because when I got into my bed at the end of the day, after Janice worked me so hard during the week, I was glad, and I was able to say, "Thank you, Lord, for bringing me back to my bed." It's a pretty comfortable bed. I like that bed, okay? Verses 15 through 17. "Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. The agreement that you and I have with God is permanent. It cannot be changed. You cannot lose your salvation. God gave it to you, and it is yours for the rest of your life. And then when your life is over, it is still yours. And you will find yourself before the throne of God, praising him for saving you." Have you ever had someone make a promise to you? When I was 16 years old, I had a promise made to me by someone that I idolized. I was not a Christian, but I thought this man was probably the greatest man that I and any of my family knew at the time. He was the editor, Jack Carlisle is what it was called, editor of the Detroit News, an important man. He knew everybody. And it was during pheasant season, he came out with my aunt. She was looking for a millionaire to marry. And yeah, she was. That's what all that. It had to be a millionaire. And she finally married one, $36 million worth. Then she backed over him in the driveway the second week that they were married. He never trusted her after that. It was an accident. But anyway, Jack Carlisle promised. I was hunting with a single shot, 16-gauge shotgun for pheasants. Jack Carlisle promised me an automatic 12-gauge Browning shotgun. He was trying to make an impression on my aunt. He made the impression on me. How do you think I felt when he didn't keep his promise? You know, we don't have to do that with God. If God makes you a promise, God is going to keep that promise no matter what it is, because he's God. Verse 18 through 22. "Saying, up unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but a few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do not my prophets no harm." God does not leave it up to his children to accomplish his promises. Let me say that again. God does not leave it up to his children, that's us, to accomplish his promises. He is going to accomplish the promise every time. He is the one who's going to do it. We don't have to do it for ourselves. God's going to do it because he is the one who promised. Isn't it wonderful to belong to him? To know that You belong to God. No matter what happens, you're eventually going to wind up with Him. God is over all. And no one can touch us without God's permission. Now, that's the scary part. God might give His permission. And then we become a what? We could become a martyr. Verses 23 through 27. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Remember that God is God of all. I was meditating upon these verses, and the thought came to me that China and Russia are supposed to be singing unto the Lord, but they're not, because they don't know Him. Just think of that. Can you imagine China singing to the Lord? No, I can't. China and Russia are nations under the influence of the devil. And yet here it's been saying, it was commanded in verse 23, sing unto the Lord. That's to the whole world. But they can't sing to Him because they don't know Him. And if you're here tonight, I hope you know Him. You can sing to Him. God still loves them, and He's trying to get His word to them. There are those who are taking the word at the risk of their very lives. Some of them we supported for some period of time. And they're risking their lives to take to the lost people of China and Russia. Take to the communist people the coming of Christ and the love of God. It happened in King David's time, and it's happening in our time. You know, this is sort of a fantastic prayer that David wrote for the singers to use to praise the Lord. I remember David just became king. He wasn't signing executive decisions after his inauguration. He was singing, he was writing a song, a prayer to God. What a way to start any activity, with a prayer. I remember a particular school that I was in, it was a Christian school, that they opened every class with prayer. What a way to start any activity. We should do the same. But we forget. Can I say this? We sometimes forget to. We get so involved that we forget who we're doing this for. We foolishly sometimes think we're doing it for us. But we're doing it for God. We're supposed to be. So we should be singing. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. When you come before God, I know some of you, I don't know necessarily who, But I know that some of you often bring offerings to various people, not necessarily to God, but because you're coming to meet with them or you're coming to eat with them or something, you might bring a gift of some sort. That's what we're supposed to do before God. And the only gift that most of us have got to bring is us. I think, come and surrender ourselves to God when we come before Him in just prayer. In prayer. David called for all of the people to give to the Lord, not material things, but to give Him spiritual and emotional things, things that cannot be bought from a store. Because what are you going to buy God? It's like you parents. What is your kid going to buy you for Christmas? Daddy, can I have $5? I want to buy you a Christmas present. We all did it. No sense pretending we didn't. And as kids, we expected our parents to give us something so we could go buy them something. We don't have to do that with God. Everything belongs to Him. We do have something we can bring. We have our soul. You see, God gave us that soul, but it belongs to Him if we're born again. And we can bring that to Him and we can offer that to Him in everything that goes with it. So David was calling for them to bring spiritual things, things that could not be purchased, but things that come from inside the hearts of the people. Worship is something we bring to God and we offer to God from our hearts. Worship is loving Him for all that He is doing for us. David had already given the people food for celebration. Remember, he gave everybody a good piece of meat and bread and a flagon of wine. And that's actually what God wants. If we give ourselves, we will not be involved in sin, because we know that God does not abide where sin abides. And so if we give ourselves to God, we're going to be careful. We're going to listen to this. We're going to read this. We're going to obey this book called the Bible. Verses 31 through 33. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Does He reign in the United States? He does. No matter what's going on, He does reign. Let the sea roar, let the fullness thereof, let the fields rejoice in all that therein is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because He cometh to judge the earth. Might as well get used to singing to the Lord. Some of you got nice voices. I like to listen to you sing. At this point in his prayer, David changes his emphasis from mankind to nature and other parts of creation. All of creation is capable of glorifying God and the Lord who created everything. All of nature is capable of doing that. Tim and I went hunting a few weeks ago at night. I went into an area that I had never been in. I heard creatures. I told Tim that. Creatures that I did not recognize. I love nature. I've studied nature. I've even taken courses in entomology, which is study of bugs. Okay. And I heard things that I've never heard before. They were beautiful. I saw animals that I had never seen before. They were beautiful. Birds I'd never seen. God made all of this. Jesus made all of this for our enjoyment. And man, I enjoyed myself out there that night. We didn't accomplish what we want to accomplish, but I enjoyed myself out there that night. And I'm sure that's why Ricky goes into the woods. It has something to do with why Ricky would go into the woods hunting. It's just to be out among God's nature. We're not going out there with a kill, kill, kill in mind. We're going out there to enjoy what God has made. And in some cases, to take what he offers us when it runs past. I used to take Connie deer hunting up in the mountains of South Carolina. And she would sit there on the log beside me with her handkerchief, her white handkerchief. Ricky, have you ever done this? Every deer for a mile can see that white flag. I say, how do you put that handkerchief away? But I loved having her with me, because I could share what God was showing me and putting around us. David is singing. He wrote this song as a new king to praise God with. We're coming to the end of it, and he has not asked for one single thing for himself. Verses 34 through 36. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to the holy to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. People, that's what it's all about. And that's only what it's about. As David closes this psalm, I would imagine that this will be a crescendo. There will be a big buildup in volume. At the end of Thanksgiving, from the heart and a time of spiritual worship to the God who is pure love and goodness. These people were to experience pure joy in the love of God. And we can do the same thing if we will spend some time thanking God for his goodness and mercy to us in spite of all the things that we have done to offend him. His forgiveness has no limit. Think about it. Think about it. What a wonderful prayer. You know what I would like to think of? I'd like to think of all of you folks going home tonight and trying to figure out how to sing a prayer to God. Now, a lot of the hymns that we sing are in essence a prayer, some of them anyway. But I'd like you to go home and think about, what can I sing to God in the way of a prayer? And then imitate David. Father, we do love you because you love us so good, so perfectly. You provide for us, Father. You watch over us. You care for us. And Lord, we know we need you because we are so weak and wretched. Father, made with sin. And so, Father, as we close tonight, we do want to praise you. We want to sing songs of praise to you for who you are, because you are the most wonderful God that has ever existed. You're the only real God who has ever existed. And so, Father, we know that Jesus is standing at your right hand right now, making intercession for each one of us. Help us, Father, through the leading of your Holy Spirit, to sing a prayer to you and to Jesus, and then, Father, to the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Thank you, Father, for loving us and all the things you're doing for us. May we love you. For we ask it in Jesus' name.